Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you all for joining us on tonight for another episode of Family Matters with Kenny and Kwajalein. And this is Kwajalein, and here's my husband.
Hello.
Kenny.
I'm Kenny.
And again, we do appreciate you all for tuning in tonight. If you are a listener, if you're streaming and you would like to call in, then please call in at 657-383-1571. Again, that's 657-383-1571. So before we go ahead and read off our topic on tonight, we're going to go ahead and, well, the line is already open, but hi, Kyra, how are you?
Hey, y'all. I'm good. How y'all doing?
Hey.
Doing good. Doing good. Okay. You're our first and only caller tonight.
Oh, thank you.
Which is okay. You know, we could have been on our way up to Woodbridge.
Yes, y'all really could have this weekend, but you know, I'm not going to get into that before somebody else calls, but yes.
I told him he can't just be popping in. I'm like, girl, just no respect.
Come on, bro.
No
Come
respect.
Come on, bro. Come on.
Ain't that right, sis?
That's right. We
family.
We be family. That's right. We be family.
Well, of course, we look forward to hearing what you have to say on tonight, ma'am. And,
yes,
you know,
ma'am.
Please feel free. Whatever comes to mind, come on, give us that
Thank
knowledge.
You.
That knowledge. So we're Amen. Going to talk about childhood trauma on tonight. Well, we're going to continue our series on childhood trauma. We're actually going to go into childhood and childhood anxiety. Lord, I can't talk tonight. Okay, trauma that occurs during childhood mm-hmm. can have many negative effects. Tonight we will continue our series on trauma and how children are affected in childhood as well as adulthood. Thank you for joining us mm-hmm. on tonight, Friday, March 3rd, 2016. It's 8 p.m. Eastern. And again, if you're streaming and you would like to call in, please give us a call at 657-383-1571. So what I like to do sometimes is before we actually get into the topic, I like to talk about something that I saw on, you know, either in the news or on Facebook or whatever. So mm-hmm. you guys know that I'm always reading articles and comments. And, mm-hmm. yeah, so that's sometimes a good thing, sometimes not a good thing, but it's what I do. So anyway,
mm-hmm.
this there was this story that I read on a blog that I followed. This was actually posted in 2015, but for some reason, I don't know if it was reposted or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this couple. They had been trying to have children, you know, for a while, and then finally she got pregnant, and she had a baby back mm-hmm. in 2005, I believe. She had a baby. And the baby came out not breathing when the baby was born.
Mm.
Got pregnant and had a baby, and the baby was breathing. So the midwife tried to resuscitate the baby. However, they were successful, so they had to bring in specialists. And by the time the specialists arrived, the baby girl had been deprived of oxygen for almost an hour. Of course, we know causes mm-hmm. brain damage that cannot be reversed.
Wow.
So they waited for 5 months, and then they were told that the baby, she had infantile spasms, which is a epilepsy. It's a severe form.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much she would never walk or talk, and she was blind. Her eyes would roll, you know, roll in her sockets mm-hmm. and everything. She had cerebral palsy.
Wow.
Throat muscles are weak. She can't swallow. Things like that. She has problems swallowing, things like that. So these parents, they decided to give her hormones to stop her growth. Because she can't walk, she can't do anything like that, so they have to carry her and you know, everything. So they decided back in 2015, somewhere around there, they decided to give her some hormones to stop her growth,
mm-hmm.
and mm-hmm. 10 years old, and so her growth was stopped. She will not grow, you know, to be a full-size adult or anything like that. So there were people that pretty much, I guess, talked against them because she's, at the time the article was written, she was only 4 feet three, well, she's only 4 feet 3 inches, 53 pounds, which is what she'll be. They even had her uterus taken out so that she would not get her menstruation, her period and everything. So, you know, there were some people that were against their decision because they felt as though they were wrong for doing that. How do you feel?
That's big. I don't know. Honestly, I'm just kind of I'm torn. I mean, someone else's life to make decisions like that with someone else's body. You know what I'm saying? I get it, but I just that's a tough one. That's a tough one for me.
What do you think, Kenny?
Well, I think that decision was was a real tough decision. I don't think that they even though she was, you know, not at the point where she can mentally think for herself on her own at that moment, but I don't think they should have went to that extreme of doing all of that.
Yeah.
You know. Because eventually she would have got to the point where she would have had some kind of knowledge of what's going on around her. But now, you know, they stripped everything from her. I don't know what else to say about that one, but I'm a little bit torn about that one too.
Wow.
Okay. Well, they say that, you know, once she started the hormones, her seizures pretty much stopped. She started smiling, which she wasn't doing before. You know, her limbs, you know, became more pliable, easier to move. Because of the, you know, what estrogen can do to the muscles and everything. Me personally, that is a hard one. I can see where they were coming from, though. I can definitely see as much as I can, you know, because I haven't been in that situation, thank God. But I can see their reasoning behind it because she can't do anything for herself. And I guess even with removing her uterus, they are trying to bear her, you know, trying to, you know, keep her from the pain of menstruation and everything because she's already suffering and it's not like, you know, she'll be able to carry a baby or anything. You know, she can't.
Wow.
It's a decision I won't be able to make. Now, you know, I could see where.
Children screaming in the background. Yeah, it is. And I guess. Lord have mercy. Yeah, please excuse our children.
It's all right. Okay.
Listen, sorry. That is a big one, you know, because it's kind of one side, like, you know, why did they do that or why were they messing with her body? But then at the same time, it's like, well, they're the ones who are, first of all, the parents, and they're the ones who are there every day. And so, you know, I guess in that situation, I would say, and this is just Kwajalein, I don't know if there's really a right or wrong. They were just trying to do, you know, what they could do, the best they could do, or whatever. So that's pretty much what I would say about that. I don't know. That's my opinion. But I will post it on the Family Matters with Kenny and Kwajalein page, you know, so if you guys want to go back and read it or, you know, or whatever. But it does say that they believe they did what was best, so I guess that's what we, you know, have to look at, you know, that they lived in their hearts, they were doing what was right. So.
Yeah, and it wasn't an easy decision either way, so you kind of have to look at it like that. It wasn't like they just, you know, we're going to do this. They actually, it was a hard decision, so you have to look at it like that, too. You do have to believe it was hard to do it.
Right. And it also stated, you know, even with her growing, you know, they They didn't want her laying in the bed all the time because when she got bigger, they didn't, I guess they, from what I got from it, they didn't feel like they would be able to move her like that.
Wow.
And so
okay.
I guess
okay.
that played a part too because they felt like they could move
mm-hmm.
her better.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
So that's,
okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a hard
so
one.
So they were
that's,
kind of thinking on, excuse me, but they're kind of thinking on like future, you know, kind of, you know,
mm-hmm.
like it's just like with her not being able to have a cycle, you know, doing that so she wouldn't be able to have a period. And even like you said, you know, moving her and lifting her and, you know, and they'll be older, you know, 20 years down the road, that'd be something. So, I mean, I guess maybe I can. It's still hard to say, but if you look at it from, you know, what if they thought about 10, 20 years from now, you know, what they would have to do and what they would and would not be able to do, you know, at 60, 70 years old.
Right.
You know, with someone with these disabilities and even risking her being taken away. You know, they get older and then someone else would have to care for her had she continued to, you know, I don't know, but I can kind of see a little, you know, kind of see a little bit better maybe where they were coming from.
Yeah, I one big takeaway that I got from this is that they're I think I'm using the correct term, they're pro life. They didn't just give up on her.
Right.
They gave her opportunity
That's
to
right.
live, and then
That's
and then
right.
with giving her the opportunity to live, they were also wanted to make sure that she had a good quality of living. So at their expense, you know, they did have to make some very hard decisions. Me personally, I can't say what I would have done in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
However,
mm-hmm.
you know, I commend them definitely for being pro-life.
Definitely. Yeah, yeah, that's right. I agree with that. That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. Very true.
Yeah. It is mm-hmm. a hard one, though. Ooh, that's a hard
yeah.
one. Yeah. It is. All right. Well, we have the Flows on the line. Hello, Flows. How are you doing? How are you guys doing?
I'm doing good. How are you, Pastor?
Hello.
Good. Doing good.
Hey there. How you doing?
And I'm doing well. I'm doing well, just as well. I'm just getting home. A little longer Friday than usual, but it is what it is. How's everybody?
Good. Great.
Now,
bro. Good.
Doing good.
Sound like they had you on that staff time.
Okay. Good. Mish, just tell me,
ma'am.
Did you have fun at your class?
Oh, my goodness, yes. Yes, I'm going back to.
I can't tell what class you went to on the air, Kenny. All I can say is, Kyrie, you remember back in Texas, you remember I used to say I wanted a room?
Immediately my mind just went back when you said you could not say what class you went to. You didn't hear me? I said, uh-oh, because I know something.
Yes.
That's all I'm going to say.
I love this.
Great match. Wow. God bless you. My. God bless you. Wow.
Yes, it is fun.
It is family matters.
This is a family matter.
That is a family matter.
It's a wonderful one.
If I went to one of them classes, you wouldn't be saying that.
I know that's right.
Last time I checked, I am a family, and it matters to me.
Oh on another level tonight, family matters.
Yep.
Wow.
Oh, I guess this is long Friday you were talking about, brother.
But I'm telling you, Pastor, if you can get the one, because it is fabulous. You're going to be hurting, though. You're going to be hurting because they use all the muscles. But, yes, get the one.
I have to go one day after my physical therapy.
Get the one.
Before. We'll talk about that later. That'll be another show.
Yep.
Oh, it sounds wonderful. Let me know when that show is going to be on here. Sister Al. Help us, Sister Al. Help us, Sister Al. So Sister can help her.
Well, I'm telling you.
Yeah, I already got the title for that. When Keeping It Real gets you pregnant.
Now that is funny.
Bless the Lord. Oh, bless him.
For our listeners, please excuse my husband.
Kenny, you wrong for this. I'm
he don't want that to check on those kids. It's not an act of the bed. Okay. Let me try to get on task now. I'm going to try.
Okay. What were y'all talking about when I got on the phone?
Oh, I just actually posted the article. It was about this couple who they had been trying to have a baby, but they finally did. She got pregnant, and when she gave birth to their baby, the baby wasn't breathing, and the midwives, they tried to resuscitate her, but they couldn't, so they had to call in a specialist, and by the time the specialist got there, she had been without oxygen for almost an hour. And so she had cerebral palsy, and then she was diagnosed with infantile spasms, you know, which is epilepsy, a severe form. And she's not going to be able to walk or talk, and then she's blind. And so what they chose to do was to have a hysterectomy done for her and also to give her some hormones to stop her growth. So she'll forever be 4'3", and I think, what did I say, 53 pounds or 54 pounds. Mm-hmm. I don't know, I'm trying to find it. Yeah, mm-hmm. Something like that. I'm trying to find it again. 53 pounds. And so that's what we were talking about, you know, because some people really you know, gave them some issues about that decision.
And they were very opinionated. Well, they haven't seen the things that I've seen, you know, so I could totally understand the parents' decision, because I used to have a foster child who was 7 years old, weighed 20 pounds because the parents deprived them. And it was a task to move that child. Every time I had to go and check her to make sure she wasn't abused and neglected. So I totally understand it, because I've been through it, even though I didn't live with her 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mm-hmm. But I totally understand where they're coming from.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
All dead weight. And she was exactly cerebral palsy, blind. Her parents didn't feed her. She was very skeletal when we first got her. But, you know, being in a foster home, we got all the medical stuff for her. And, you know, she then became extremely heavy to where we had to get a medical lift for her. So I understand what they talking about, because I've been there.
Wow.
That's sad.
Wow.
Yes, it is. She went into care at 7?
Yes, because they found her. How did they find her? Somebody called it in, and because the mom was only feeding that child baby formula. She had two other kids there.
Oh, my God.
And when we went in, you know, Chatham County DFACS, when we went in, that's what we found. And we removed all the kids from the home because the mom was just giving the girl baby formula, really didn't have any medical care for her. And I don't know what happened to that case, because I had to give it up because we moved to Germany. But I think the parents did jail time, definitely.
My gosh, yes.
It just makes you wonder how did they go all of those years and get away with it?
7 years. Yeah.
Constant moving. Constant moving.
Oh.
But Yep. Matter of fact, I want to say the neighbor called it in because she was quite concerned with the way the child looked. So I was like, good job, neighbor.
That's right.
And you know me, I was a very ruthless case worker. I had no mercy for them parents.
I know, Mish. I know. Yeah. I was telling Tyra about you being my you know, you my hood ghetto, but friend, but you good though. You come a long way though, Jay.
She didn't want to go to jail with you. Yeah, that's why I was like, oh man, she didn't want to go to jail with you, slash some ties. Let's do this. Yeah. Everybody need a food like that.
Everybody.
That's awesome.
But professional all at the same
time. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
A ride or die.
Yes. That's what I'm talking about.
So yeah, that's my Jay.
Yes, ma'am.
So yeah,
the person who I thought was two different people because Quaslin was, you know, using two different names here on the show, and I thought you were two different people. I was like, they really sound alike, Mish and Jay. They really sound alike.
Same person.
Had no idea it was the same post. I was like, man, they must be from the same place, the same, you know, just your accent, everything was the same. I was like, wow. Yeah. So I was a little confused. I just got that cleared up this week. Yeah. All this time on the show.
Yeah,
nice to meet you, Mish. Nice to meet you, Mish.
Nice to meet you.
I'll let you know which one I can call you. I'll let you know which one I'm going to call
okay.
you. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Okay, sorry, y'all. Okay.
No, you good. Y'all funny. Hey, Lily.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Doing good. What's wrong with how I say you? What's wrong with that? My husband confirmed me about how I say you. Yes, I'm doing good. It's good to have you back on. We missed you the last couple of shows.
Yes, ma'am. Got busy and I forgot. I said, oh, no.
I didn't hear no my reminder happened. Text from Pastor Shell.
Oh, you said you didn't get it?
No.
Yeah.
Normally she'd be on it.
Yeah. But we know life happens and, you know, you got busy. So, but, you know, hey, we miss a couple of shows being there, but we ain't going nowhere.
We're not going anywhere. We're just right here.
We will. All right, so we're going to get into the show real quick. Just to let you guys know, we're going to be in Georgia for 3 years instead of one. Did you see that, Kyra?
No. Wow. Okay.
Yeah, we'll be going to Savannah when he gets back.
Wow.
So,
awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, God is doing something, I guess. No, I don't guess. He's always up for something.
Amen.
All right. So, we started our series on childhood trauma, and the last show that we had, we were just talking about how, you know, children can be affected from, you know, things such as not getting the attachments they needed at, you know, when they're smaller, not getting that emotional development that they need. How abuse, you know, maltreatment and things like that can cause issues with the brain, you know, and all type of dysfunctions, and that childhood trauma can actually cause a disruption, an interruption in normal development, emotionally, mentally, physically, you know. So that's what we were talking about. And so tonight we're going to talk about that. So we're going to continue on with that, and we're going to focus on childhood anxiety. But now, if you guys have anything else to say just about childhood trauma, then please, mm-hmm. you know, say it. It doesn't have to be related to childhood anxiety because it actually, you know, it still all goes hand in hand. But I mentioned childhood anxiety. I mentioned anxiety before. We didn't get to do the show, but then I also mentioned it last show, I think, because it can develop in situations where, you know, people have really strict parents, which that is actually a form of trauma. Last time we also talked mm-hmm. about the type of parenting styles, authoritative, mm-hmm. authoritarian, and permissive.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, are the militant type parents, you know, real mm-hmm. strict, a lot of orders, don't do a whole lot mm-hmm. of, you know, communication. It's just, you do what I say, do, you know, that type of thing. And these kids, mm-hmm. a lot of times, are very anxious, you know, they're angry. Mm-hmm. They have self-esteem issues.
Yeah.
Don't really know how to regulate their emotions. You know, they'll obey when they're in front of somebody, but, you know, an authority figure, but sometimes when they're not, they won't. Because they're used to being controlled by authority figures. Yeah. And so with the anxiousness and everything comes, you know, the anxiety. And this is, of course, not the only case where children, you know, can develop childhood anxiety, but we're focusing on trauma, and so that is one thing that from trauma. Okay, my husband says he want me to save him. Last time he said that, yeah, he was tripping. He said that he's an authoritarian parent. Okay, so, but he wanted me to say that he's just not completely that way. He's not. He's come a long way, first of all, but he's not completely mm-hmm. that way. But he did have a militant style of, you know, a more strict style of parenting because of how he was raised. And so he's been in a learning process, and he's actually come a long way.
You know what, though?
Go ahead, Mish.
I kind of wish that a lot of parents were or like how Pastor Kenny is right now. You know, he has come a long way because, you know, he was really, really strict. You know, he used to hurt my feelings. And I wasn't even the one being in trouble. You know, but, like, so I
girl,
can imagine. I can imagine how the kids felt. I'm an adult, and I'm like, man, I'm about to cry. You know what I mean? So, but he has come a long way, but he's, you know what I mean? He still needs that style certain times. And I sometimes wish I was like that because, you know, I let my husband do the punishment because he's a little more on it. Because I'll be like, all right, man, get out my face, get outside. He was like, no, go back to your room, sit there, you know. So it's a nice little balance.
Yeah. And
he comes up with the greatest punishments, too. Huh, husband?
Mm-hmm. Creative. Creativity. Yeah, I agree. Sometimes I can be a little, they get over on me sometimes. But, yes, Kenny has moved.
They get over on me all the time.
They get over on me all the time.
I've let my husband tell it.
Well, Kenny says that, too. They play on my week. I don't think I'm a punk. I don't think I am. Maybe just, you know, but I don't know the way Kenny.
But those are babies. I mean, we're female.
It's not about being a punk. You know what I mean? It's just about these kids ain't dumb as we think they are. Okay? These kids know that, hey, like, I'll prime example, okay? When Cameron wants to do something, she'll send Anaya downstairs to ask me. Because she's like, yeah, he'll probably tell you yeah before he tells me yeah, so you go ask. And once I figured out what they were doing, I said, yes, Anaya, you can do this, but if Cameron wants to do it, she has to come ask too. You know what I mean? Because that's what they were doing. Like, these kids ain't stupid. You know, like, I guess, like, we forget, you know, how smart we were as children once we become adults. But, yeah, these kids ain't dumb, and they try to get over on you any way they can.
Yeah, they do.
And so it's not about being a punk or being soft or disciplined or whatever. If, as parents, we got so much stuff going on. You know what I mean? Did you forget? Oh, yeah, you weren't supposed to do that because you didn't clean your room. You know what I mean? We forget about that stuff. But, I tend to remember that better than she does. So that's why they asked her, because they don't want me to remember, oh, no, because you're grounded because you did this. You know what I mean? Get back upstairs in your room. That's why they asked mom. So it's not necessarily that they think she's a punk. They just know she ain't going to remember what they did there in trouble. Because she's doing 13 other things.
Right, right. Yeah, I don't. Well, I said that, Keto, I was talking about me. I was saying because I don't think I am, but sometimes he didn't make me feel like I am when he's like, they just getting over on you.
But that's the thing, though. Like, but see, that's the thing, though. Like, the average mother, like, that's one thing that I've learned in the past, I don't know, 2-3 years, is that us men suck at multitasking. You know, we do one thing at a time, we do it well. But the second we got to juggle 2, 3, 4 things, you got 2, 3, 4 things that are done halfway. You know what I mean? Whereas women are better at it, so they're all over the place. And, you know, like my kids, they used to go up and ask, you know, Jade, hey, can we have some Kool-Aid? Well, she's up in the bed asleep, so she's been there, sure, go ahead and drink it all, I don't care. You know what I mean? But and then she wakes up in the morning, like, what happened to all the Kool-Aid? Like, no, you told us we could drink it. You know, we asked you, and they did. You know, but they asked her why she was asleep. You know, and like, that's just the type of stuff they knew. Like, yeah, if we wait till mom go to sleep and ask her a question, we get what we want. And which all goes back to what I was saying earlier about these kids not being stupid. They know who to ask for what.
They do. You're right. Hey, man, good job, brother. You say wifey on air, man. You might get your first lesson today, brother.
Oh, gosh.
Wow. He did put me on blast on the air. I caught that. It's all good, though. Hey, it's life.
Nah, hey, I'm not judging. Hey, it's all right.
Oh, that's fun. Yeah, they are. They are very, very smart. And yeah, they come and talk to us when we on the phone. And, you know, we just, it's just different. They know the difference between mom and dad. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, they absolutely do. And one thing I was noticing, and because we're on the topic of childhood trauma, I was causing that anxiety in Jeremiah, because, you know, I was this parent, I was just, you know, strict by the book, do this, do that, and you know, there were times that I forgot that, you know, man, when I was a kid, I used to do the same thing, I used to do this, but now, I'm telling y'all, man, God is so good, like, the light came on, like, he hit the switch, he cut the switch on, was like, all right, this is your day to get it, bro. This is your day to get it. Because if you don't get it now, you're going to lose him. And I tell you what, it's such a blessing for my children to look forward to me coming home opposed to me like, man, oh, man, it's almost my dad to come home. They don't do that no more, you know what I'm saying? And I was like that for a minute, you know, especially with Jeremiah.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had that lack of knowledge of parenting. You know, I didn't have a solid foundation of good parenting.
Yeah.
And it kind of caused some trauma with me. It caused some things with me that I had no clue.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, I found out definitely through my wife and you know, just coming up in how I was raised is that you can cause a lot of trauma with kids by your words. You know, and you know, it had this old cliche that sticks and stones may break my bones, but words never hurt me. That's a lie from the pits of hell.
Because
you can say
lie.
Something and cut a kid to the core, and it can tear them up for life, you know. And me, I had this I had this, I didn't have no governor between my mouth and my brain, you know what I'm saying? I was on 100 quick, you know, and I used to say things. And then I told Jeremiah one time, and I wasn't even thinking about it. But then you know, God gave me revelation, you know, through my wife and just me speaking with him, that I said, well, sorry don't always fix it. And I wasn't even thinking about that. And then, you know, God gave me revelation. My wife gave me revelation. And she said, you remember that? And parents, listeners, streamers, sorry does not always fix it. It really don't. And here I am, 37 years old, with a soon-to-be middle schooler. And, you know, I had to work, you know, to get back into that heart. You know, get back into his heart because, you know, he had hardened that heart up so tough with me, you know. And it wasn't that he hated me. It's just he was busy. He was trying to guard his heart. He had to put a fortress around because he didn't want to be hurt no more, you know. And here I am, you know, with that 4-ounce ball peen hammer, you know, for 6 years straight, chipping at that heart, trying to get back to him. And now, man, me and him gonna hop in the car, go riding and trip out, laugh, be jamming and acting crazy at the light, dance and all kinds of stuff in the store, playing and running around. I mean, we just have fun. So, and we really do. So I'm not saying this, y'all, just to say it. It really does happen, and I'm just grateful. I'm just grateful.
Amen.
And it's still a process, and I thank God for it.
Amen. Wow. Awesome.
Yeah. So it's definitely they have come a long way. Still in process. It's not completely, you know, but it's definitely not where it was. And so he is moving towards being that authoritative parent. You know, the one that's balanced. You get a rules and the boundaries, but at the same time, you know, you understand they're kids.
That's right.
You know, and so. And it makes a difference. It truly makes a difference. The way we parent our kids makes it makes a big difference in who they end up being. So you know, I thank God for just teaching us. So
amen.
Hey Keisha.
Hey girl, excuse me. Hey girl,
how you doing?
I'm doing all right. How is everyone?
Hi.
Good.
Good.
Hey.
Good. Excellent.
Good. Well, you know your line is open, ma'am. So.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you very much.
Feel free. All right. Does anybody else have anything to say about childhood trauma? Nobody? Okay. Okay. Childhood anxiety. We know it is associated. It can be associated with stress and trauma. Can be a result, like we said, of harsh parenting. Different things, but again, you know, I just wanted to mention that, and can cause severe anxiety. Now, there are different types of anxiety, and I think sometimes we don't even realize that our kids are anxious or they're experiencing anxiety, and it doesn't even necessarily mean that the trauma has come from us. It can be stuff that's coming from school, you know, like bullying, really extra strict teachers, just trying to meet the demands of life, trying to maintain grades, do sports. Just sometimes they get over, you know, chores, everything. And so sometimes they're just like us. Sometimes it becomes overwhelming for them, and then they – you know, they develop anxiety, just like we do. There's generalized anxiety disorder, and this is seen in the kids that have this, they worry excessively. They're always worrying about things. Am I going to be accepted? I got to make sure I make good grades. I got, you know, it's always I gotta be perfect in this. I have to be perfect in that. Oh my goodness, mom and dad is arguing. You know, my brother might be. You know, just it's just like they're always. Their minds are always going. They're always stressing. They're always worrying. Some of the symptoms of that, again, you know, excessive worrying. They're restless. They can be very irritable or agitated. Have trouble with sleeping. You know, muscle tension, the same stuff that we have, and you know, very hard on themselves. They can be very, very hard on themselves, you know, to meet certain demands, either demands that have been placed on them or demands that they place on themselves, you know. I think it's more common than we know, but these are just signs to look for, just some signs to look for, you know. Generalized anxiety disorder, GAD.
GAD, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Then there are panic disorders. Honestly, had not even thought about but the children, just like adults, have panic disorders. You know, and when you have a panic disorder, a lot of times you feel like you're dying. You know, some people think they're having heart attacks, and, you know, and that's because the anxiety, when we have this stress and this anxiety going on, it affects everything. Our entire makeup, everything. And some of the signs, this is not all of them, but some of them, you know, some of these kids have a fear of going out. And if they're having a panic attack, you know, they have feelings of choking, difficulty breathing. They may feel dizzy, sweating, trembling, you know, muscles may feel numb and tingly. So, those are some of the things that you may see in children that have panic disorders.
Okay.
Absolutely. And, y'all, I see firsthand a lot of the times, you know, with the cycles that I pick up with me being an instructor here, of the damages and or the effects of substandard parenting and what it does to young adults even. And y'all, I'm telling you, I see some things that just blow my mind, you know. I mean, you know, soldiers that don't want to take baths and they don't want to be touched. They're afraid of being around people. I mean, all kind of stuff. It's just it's just mind-boggling. I mean, it breaks my heart to see people like that. But at the same time, you know, I just thank God for the gift He's given me. He's given me a gift of being able to reach out to them, you know, and they actually feel comfortable around me, you know. So when I'm talking with them, you know, they can relax, and it just brings joy to my heart to see, you know, people that have these types of disorders, and I'm able to reach them, and they actually can. You can see the guards just you know how it is when a fortress is built around a castle, and the king lets down the gate to let people come in. It's just like that, literally. You can see the guard immediately being let down, and they can relax. And they're like, "Oh, okay, he's cool. He's not gonna do that to me. He's gonna talk to me. He's gonna treat me like an adult." And y'all, I think people should definitely learn how to cope and tolerate, and learn things about you know, these disorders. So I thank God my wife's having these. She wanted to do this series because Amen. This class that she's in has actually taught me a lot as well. And if we can continue to learn about these things, and my wife continues to bring these things to the forefront, then maybe, just maybe, y'all, we can make a change in this world, one person at a time.
Amen. 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 Amen.
And sometimes we just don't know because we don't, you know, we don't have the knowledge, or you know, we just not. Sometimes we just don't know. Because I don't remember growing up, I don't remember hearing a lot about anxiety in children. Maybe because we weren't allowed getting grown folks' business in. I don't know if it was that, or if that was just something that our community really didn't focus on, you know, because, you know, it's just like, well, you deal with it, you get, you know, you, hey, this is what it is, you know, so that was how it was a lot of times, but we
were allowed to go outside and play.
Yeah.
That's how we got over a lot of them disorders.
Yeah. It was a lot less, lot less stress.
Yeah,
even in school and stuff, that's something that I see a lot with Jeremiah is, you know, his stress in school with trying to maintain his schoolwork, and you know he still has anxiety. He does have anxiety, but we're working on that. We're praying on that. I talked his daughter about it. She even, you know, because he was having problems sleeping, and I didn't know kids could take melatonin. I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Bless God.
Yeah. You know, because on the thing, it's adults.
It does.
You know, so she suggested that, and so that helped. Mm-hmm. But just the stresses of life, and you're right, Nish. They don't get outside as much as we did. They don't burn that stuff off and, you know, release that stuff like that. So it does. It makes
a
difference.
That's right.
Kenny, you were talking about, you said you have soldiers that are scared to be around people. That's actually a social anxiety disorder. They have a fear of social settings. And I guess the interesting thing about that is that they came in the military with that, so it makes you wonder whether they can get away, you know, or something, you know, something like that. But, and it's not the normal fear, of course, you know, they don't want to be called on in class, you know, sometimes they have fear of, you know, going to the store and things like that. So, you know, that's something to also look out for. And then that's separation anxiety. Now, separation anxiety disorder. Now, I'm not talking about, we know our babies, they go through that. Not talked about that.
Yeah.
I'm saying the one that you see in older kids, you know, when they should be at a point where they're sociable, you know, they don't have a problem with leaving mom or dad, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But this disorder is characterized, you know, by an unwillingness to leave parents when they're at an older age. And these kids, it's also excessive worrying. Well, my mom is gone, she's going to have an accident. What if she doesn't come back? What if something happens to dad? You know, and it's just constant worrying. They sometimes have physical ailments, which they also have in the, you know, generalized anxiety disorder as well, just like panic disorders. But they may have headaches, stomach aches, trembling, nausea, you know, but just an excessive fear that something is going to happen when they're separated from their parents or caretakers.
Y'all know We used to see this back in the day, and I'm gonna tell you how I know, and you know, about that uncle or that auntie that's 40, 45, 50 years old still living with mama. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
We see that separation anxiety that happened, but at the time, people didn't look at that as a disorder. They looked at that as just, oh girl, she just want to be with her mom. He just want to be with his mom or his dad.
Right.
And, yeah.
Right.
But but there are things that happened that kind of mixed up their psyche and caused them to feel that sense of belonging.
Yeah.
You know, they stay in the basement.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They don't come outside. And when they do go outside, just go to the store real quick, come back. And they're trying to hurry and get back home because they're scared mom and dad ain't going to be there when they get there. We actually experienced that now that I'm thinking about it.
Yeah.
I know somebody that has a form of that, an adult that has a form of it, and sometimes I'd be looking like, child, anyway, but now I have a better understanding,
right?
which means I'll have more compassion.
Amen.
Of course, children can also have OCD, just like us. You know, they perform things routinely, you know, repeatedly, whatever. If they see something out of place, you know, they got to keep putting it there. Oh, no, don't do this. The shoes can't be right there,
yeah.
You know, whatever.
Yeah.
Those type of things. And so, you know, you see that in young children as well. Which me, I always thought about it in adults. I never really thought about it in children, but you know, this stuff develops sometime, and I guess that's what we have to realize. You know, we see it in adults, but it develops somewhere. Things come up somewhere. You know, there's a time
where
it comes up, and you know, you can talk to their parents, and they'd be like, "Well, they were always like that. Quadrant was always like that." You know, so it's just. Something. So my mama told me I had OCD, and I was just a tad bit offended, just a little bit, She told me that about 2 months ago. I was like, Mama, her and my brother. I said, Mama, are you saying I have OCD? She said, and some things. So can you have OCD in some things?
Yeah.
Or is it just OCD?
Yeah.
And you think I have OCD?
No, babe.
Okay. Thank you.
No, babe.
Real fast.
Very, very. Love you, Kenny. Yeah. Real fast. He real smart.
So we'll talk about that off air.
Sorry, Kenny.
But my mom and my brother told me I did. So I don't know. What? We're going to have to revisit that conversation. Yeah, we're going to revisit that.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Selective mutism is also, you know, you also see that in children with anxiety when children refuse to speak. Have y'all ever heard of cases like that when it's not that they can't, but you have some cases with, you know, children, they've gone through a traumatic event and they just stop talking.
Yeah. Yes.
So sometimes they'll talk to certain people at certain places, and sometimes they just won't talk at all.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Something that's associated with childhood trauma and childhood anxiety. Okay, so the lines are open. What do you guys have to say? Anything?
Quasim, I'd like to share something. Our youngest son, well, you and Kenny's godson, CJ, he's 11. Hey, okay, yeah. Yeah, he I'm sorry. But CJ, we knew very, very early that there was something going on with him. Okay. Developmentally and you know, mentally. I knew. You know, like my husband was in denial, my dad wasn't trying to hear it, you know, I was just kind of like, something's wrong. So anyway, so he was just recently diagnosed with autism, which I knew he was, but because he was not showing certain these symptoms and these signs, you know, whatever, they were like, he's not you know, he's not autistic. You know, he's, you know, he that's not an issue. You know, that's, you know, and but they never could tell me what was going on with him. But they said that something was going on with him. Okay, mm-hmm. And so it was very frustrating. But what our his doctor just told us, just maybe 2-3 months ago, she said that parents will come get their children checked out, you know, saying something's wrong, you know, he seems a little slower, or, you know, things have to be just so, you know, in his room, you can't touch this, or you know, they're repetition, you know, they'll watch something over and over and over and over and stuff. And so the doctor said that when she does the questionnaire with the parents, she says by the end of the doctor's appointment, the parents were saying, oh my gosh, that's me. You know, like mm-hmm. the parents had grown up not knowing that, you know, there was some condition, you know what I'm saying, which is proof that a lot of people can, you can live with, you know what I'm saying, you can survive, you can make a living, you know what I'm saying. And, you know I was kind of like, wow, you kind of just, maybe sometimes you don't want the diagnosis because these parents said, well, you know, that's me. You know, my, you know, mm-hmm. I just thought my child, I just thought that was just, you know, I've lived with that. I do have to have things a certain way. I don't like when things like this are just like this. I have a hard time, you know, maybe looking people in the eye. You know, the doctor found it very interesting that that parents, by the end of these appointments and doing these questionnaires, the parents are like, I got these same issues. You know, I'm 40 years old. You know, I'm 35 years old, and I'm like that. And they said they had brushed it off and just learned to live. You know, going mm-hmm. to work, good paying jobs. You know what I'm saying? Raising a family, handling the stresses of life, and then saw some of themselves and their children, but didn't know. You know what I'm saying? That there was actually a name for, you know, some of the things that they had been dealing with. You can definitely have OCD and not have, you know, in one area and another area, which is something I studied in school. You can have, you know, routine, up, brush my teeth, wash my hands, take out the trash, and leave out the door. If you have to do it just like that, you know, every single day, there's nothing wrong with routine, but it can become obsessive, and that's where the, you know, obsessive comes from, because you don't even know. You think it becomes your normal. Until a doctor or, you know, something tells you that that's not normal. You know what I'm saying? You got people living with it every day, doing their thing, and they have, and they're okay. You know, they're not bothering anybody, but, you know, it becomes very obsessive, and their day is ruined if the phone rings while they're taking out the trash, you know, while they're doing, you know, someone interrupts them or, you know, interrupts that routine, their day is ruined. That is when it's like, okay, you need help, you know, and, you know, and you don't know it till later on that maybe I need help with this. So I just want to add, you know, share that about adults. It, you know, you're dealing with it as a kid, but you become adults. These people become adults, and they need help.
Wow.
You know.
That is very interesting. And it is because, you know, I don't think it was pushed like it is now.
Exactly.
What it was is technology wasn't out for them to see.
In some cases, you know, in some cases, I don't know how long, you know, the diagnosis has been around. In some cases,
right.
In some, you know, cases, you know, it's just a thing of, you know, it's being talked about more now.
Yes.
Talked about then, like, you know, we'll say, well, we didn't know back in the day, we didn't hear about kids being depressed, but it doesn't mean that kids weren't depressed.
That's right.
You know, but kids weren't diagnosed as being depressed because when we were growing up, it was like, y'all ain't got nothing to worry about, you know.
Right.
But
yep.
Now these kids, traumatized, depressed kids have grown to adults that, you know, are still
That's
dealing
right.
with issues. And of course, knowing. Go ahead, Keto.
Just knowing what I know about depression, I know I had depression as a kid. You know, when my grandmother passed away, I wasn't right for a long time. For a long time, I wasn't right. You know, so
wow.
It's something that I look back on now, and I'm like, yeah, you know, I was depressed. So it exists. It happens.
Wow.
It's real.
Well, Keto, did you get help? Did someone acknowledge it when you were little, or you just learned how to deal with it by yourself?
No, I didn't even realize what was going on until I was well into my 30s.
Wow. Yeah.
You know, is when I learned is when I truly learned what depression was, and then you know I'm like, wow. You
yeah.
know? I had some issues as a kid.
Wow. Wow. That's deep.
That's deep. Yep, and I think a lot of us can probably look back and see, you know, some things we were dealing with, but it just wasn't,
wow.
Especially in our community, you didn't hear a lot about that. You didn't hear a lot about, you know, going to counseling. Shoot, the adults didn't go to counseling. You know, better yet, the kids. Put kids in counseling. You know.
No, you weren't allowed to go to counseling. You weren't allowed to tell. You couldn't tell your business to nobody.
Right. 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 What state? What goes away in the house stays in the house. Yeah. That's right.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sadly.
So.
That's right.
Yeah, and that stuff just, it doesn't just disappear, you know, it's still there. But, so yeah, I that is interesting. That's very, very interesting that the adults see that, you know.
Yeah.
And we do have to get help. We have to admit first, you know,
yes,
like, yeah, I did have issues. I think I've done better. Like before, I would go to church and leave the house. I would have to make sure I mop the floor and stuff. Okay, so that might have been a little OCD.
Yes, you would mop.
But I've done better.
Yes.
I accepted my problem.
Remember, you'll be kind of late because you had to mop. And I was like, please tell me you didn't mop this morning. And you did. I'm sorry. You did.
But I, you know, I accept it. Stuff, you know, so I'm doing better. But I'll go to the Lord in prayer. But yeah, you're right. We do have to get help if those things are there. You know, and there's nothing wrong with admitting it. Quadrant.
That's fine.
You know, ain't nothing wrong with me. If you got a little OCD a little bit. You know,
ain't nothing wrong with it at all.
There's nothing wrong with it. You know, but just, you know, if we need help, if it's going, you know, making you like about to lose your mind, then
yeah,
you know, you fussing at everybody, you mad at the kids,
mm-hmm.
mad at, you know, your spouse
mm-hmm.
because
mm-hmm.
you know somebody messed up the shoes in the hallway, they're not in the same place or something like that.
Wow.
You know,
you
know, it might be time to talk to somebody for real.
Mm-hmm.
We do have to just relax a little bit because when we are anxious like that, our children become anxious. And that develops,
yes.
You know, that makes them develop anxiety because we have anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to teach them to relax, let them know, hey, it's life, it's okay, relax a little bit.
Yeah.
And when we're uptight and we... You know, we have that anxiousness going on, then that's exactly what is going to happen to them a lot of the time. Because they
that's
can't,
right.
You know, even before it just becomes a part of who they are, first of all, they'll become anxious because they know you're anxious and they don't want to do anything wrong. They don't want to mess it up. They don't want you to snap. And then, you know, and then sometimes, you know, they just pick up on that and then that's who they become.
Yeah.
And... You know, it's just not really, you know, we have to live life and, you know, just enjoy, relax. Anybody else?
Yeah.
Mish, I know you got something to say. Where you at, Mish?
Yes.
You don't have
anything
to say?
No, I don't have nothing to say.
She sound like she don't sleep. She don't got tired. Makes you I'm
well.
Now, we talked about this beforehand, Mish.
I know.
Do you have anything to say? Okay. Does anybody else have anything to say?
No, ma'am.
Okay. All right. We're going to go ahead and end the show for tonight. We appreciate you guys for calling in as usual. Another good show. Another good show.
Amen.
Yeah. And we will continue on with this topic next week. So you guys have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. And
yeah.
We love you guys.
Love you too.
Good night. Good night. Good night, y'all.